Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, or David's Vacation Club Rental. You can contact any of our fine sponsors at our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast, show number 118, and I'm joined, as always, with my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool. How you doing?
Good, Doc. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I knocked it out of the park, buddy.
What did you do now?
Well, you tried to jinx me, and I didn't mess up. Just so everybody knows, before we start the show, Dennis tries to mess me up, so I have to record a couple times, but I didn't do it this time.
Well, see, I figured I'd put the pressure on you. When I don't say anything, that's when you usually screw it up.
You have to admit, out of 100, and what have we done, like probably 75 shows together? I haven't messed the beginning up often, have I?
No, it's rare. It's rare, but it does happen.
I think if I was a batter, I'd be hitting like 900, man.
That's pretty good average.
Yeah, not bad. So how you doing? You're doing well this week, buddy?
Yeah, I'm finally pretty much done my withdrawals from Disney World and getting back into real life.
It's weird. The first few days back are the hardest.
Oh, it was brutal.
And I don't think, like, it was just you, so you had to get over it. But I don't think the wives take it as hard as we do. When they come home, they're a little happier to be home, I think, than we are.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I enjoy going down there. There is nothing like coming home, though, as they say. But, man, when you're in that Disney bubble for a certain amount of time, it's tough coming back out.
Yeah, well, Brenda will go to me, pretend we're driving down, not driving home.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
The attitude's totally different.
Yeah.
When I'm on the way down, it's hi-ho, hi-ho, off to Disney we go. And then on the way home, I'm like,
yep.
He cut me off.
Yep.
So, what do you got for news this week, buddy?
A couple of things here. Run Disney has confirmed major changes coming to Hollywood Studios. I guess folks are connecting the dots here, saying that the 2015-16 Run Disney event that they typically hold at Hollywood Studios is not being held next year. So they're tying that into the closure of the Backlot Tour. And, you know, this is just another thing, I think, in that major things are happening at the studios or going to happen at the studios fairly soon.
Well, I concur. I think that's definitely what's happening because they can't have people running around a construction site. And all the changes that seem to be coming to the studios from what the rumors are, that's going to be major construction going on.
Yeah, and much needed, as we've discussed before. But, again, it's exciting to see all this stuff, you know, coming to be and actually shovels in the ground, if you will.
Yeah, I'll be honest, that, which we always are on this show. I hate when people say that because it makes them feel like they're not being like
normally. You're not.
Yeah, normally I'm not honest, but right now I'm going to be.
Right.
So I hate when I do that expression. But the last time we were down there, we're going to talk about the studios probably next week because this week's Epcot, and you didn't go to the studios on your last trip, did you?
I did not.
Shame on you.
I know.
But anyway, it had a fresh feeling to me for the first time in a while. It was actually, I wasn't bored there. Like, not, and I don't want to say bored, but it wasn't like there wasn't as many things to do. We were discovering things as we went along because of all the additions of the Frozen stuff. Like, we were pleasantly surprised with snow and stuff like that. So I think the studios has already taken a step in the right direction. It's nice that they are freshening that place up, and I was very happy with the progress that they've already made.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I spent a good solid day there on my trip back in the spring, so I've been there. I missed the Frozen stuff, though, but, you know, it's, you know, the back lot was still open then and all that stuff, but that whole Pixar place, that whole corridor there, and, you know, with the expansion, if you will, of Toy Story Mania, the third track, as they're saying it's going to be, you know, that whole side of the park basically is going to be under construction for the next, I'd say, what, 2 to 5 years?
Yeah, it's going to be a while. I could say that for sure. I mean, I can't wait for the actual rumors to come out.
Yeah, it would be nice. I think I mentioned this a couple of shows back. I mean, typically at the D23 event that they have every 2 years out in California, they usually make some fairly big announcements. So it would be nice for, you know, for the Disney executives to come out and actually give us some concrete plans or some slideshows or overheads or something of what they have in mind. But, you know, we've all talked about you know, Star Wars Land. We've all talked about, you know, Pixar, you know, building out Pixar a little bit more in the studios. But again, most of this, if not all of this, is all speculation. It's not been confirmed at all.
Yeah, our good friend Amanda online, she texted, or texted us. I'm so used to texting. She emailed us back and forth, thanking us for the show. And we really appreciate your email, Amanda. But she was also asking about the third track. What do we think about it? Just with Toy Story just going to Fast Pass only. We just want to let her know that was only for a short period of time. That isn't what's going to be. It was just a trial thing they were doing. And I think they had to do a little setup work. So they just did that. So they closed off the standby line.
Yeah.
If that makes sense to you.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right, Doug. They probably had to do some sort of construction or maybe put up a wall or do something, and they didn't want people in the actual queue line, so they were just loading people in via the Fast Pass entrance. So I think that's all it had to do with, but we'll see.
Yeah, they might have had it might not even have been a series of work. They just might have needed a couple of days to figure out what their layout was going to be for the way they were going to run the third track or how the standby line was going to work. Maybe their architects or just their construction workers just needed to see what plan of attack they were going to take, if that makes sense
to
you.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. And as I understood it, it was just for a week, and I think it's pretty much towards the end of that time now, so it should be back to normal, if not today, probably Monday, tomorrow.
But thanks for reaching out to us, Amanda, from the United Kingdom.
Yes.
And any questions you do have, please send them to us.
Let's see here. In addition, our additional Hollywood Studios news, and again, this isn't official. This is just something that was out there on Twitter, but I found it very interesting that there's been some new park maps published, and a couple of people threw them up online of the Hollywood Studios, and there was a significant absence on those maps. Any guess to what it is?
Great Movie Ride?
Nope.
Oh. Not your favorite.
No,
Rock and Roller.
Not an attraction.
Okay. Oh, the Sorcerer's Cap.
Yep. On this map that they showed, and I think they said that this was the map. You know, not that we go off property that much, but if you go off property in all the hotels that surround Disney World, they always have, you know, like those threefold or bifold maps and, you know, the different parks and Disney and all that. I believe that's where this map is, but it's a brand new or a new edition, I guess. And Sorcerer Hat does not appear on that map. Now, whether it was just an omission or whether that's a little inkling of what's to come, we shall see. But I found that very interesting.
It's funny how all of us in the Disney community were always trying to find the next hidden gem. What shoe's going to drop next?
Yeah, I mean, you know,
I love it.
It's been there for, what, 15 years now or better, maybe? At least 15. And, you know, that'd be a huge change. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
I just wish, how can I put it? I do like the hat. I just wish it wasn't blocking the theater because I like both. And both of them might be going away.
Yeah, oddly enough.
Yes, they both might be going away, and something else might be going there.
Yeah, I don't know what they'd put up there as a, you know, the weenie, as they call it, to draw you into the park if the Great Movie Ride facade was to go away and they took the hat out of there. But I think you had mentioned on one of the earlier shows, maybe it'd be like the Death Star or something.
That wasn't me. Wasn't me. That might have been Scott.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
Who knows? God only knows what it would be, but I guarantee it'll be something really awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. And like I said, this is just rumor mill type stuff, so take it for what it's worth. But that was out there. A couple other things. Downtown Disney, you know, obviously, construction continues. I was down there on my trip that I just got back from, and it's amazing the amount of work that's going on down there. But anyways, two new kiosks coming to Downtown Disney called the Set the Bar and Sublime, and those are two bar-type eateries that are going up. Actually, the buildings, the little kiosks, are already up, and those are over by Fulton's, if you can picture where that is. And from what the article that I read said, that there's going to be a whole bunch of these all over Downtown Disney.
Oh, I'm not surprised. I read this before, and it was like what we're doing with the rumors with the studios. Mm-hmm. And from what I'm taking it as, is this whole Disney Springs is basically going to be food and wine year-round.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, but that's the way I think Downtown or Disney Springs is going to end up being, is from everything I've read, looking at prints, blah, 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 with all these kiosks and stuff, the food trucks, the whole nine yards, the food trucks, I think they're going to stay too, but I'm not sure, but they were kind of the kickoff to it.
Yeah, when I walked through there the other day, there was one truck there, and I think it has more to do with there's so many construction walls, it's just not a place to put them right now.
And I thought the food trucks were actually put there for the construction workers myself. Seriously, I'm not kidding. I think it was a reasonable way to put some the prices on them food trucks weren't that bad where those guys could afford to eat on them a few days a week.
Yeah.
I think they were trying to put reasonable food there to capitalize on getting the money back from the contractors that they're paying.
Yeah, very well could be. Like I said, I looked at it. And the only problem I have with the food trucks, or at least the way they have them now, it's great that they have the food truck, but there's no place to sit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no tables there. And, you know, if you have a drink and a sandwich and, you know, a bag of chips or whatever, and, you know, it's just a difficult way to eat. But, you know, I do like the food on them, and they do represent the different parks both here and out in California. So, yeah, I hope they stay.
Yeah, because I mean, this is just me being crazy Doug, but maybe once Disney Springs is complete and they got all these kiosks and stuff like that, maybe Food and Wine goes to Downtown for a little bit while they do some refurbishments to Epcot. You know, it's probably
yeah,
you never know, Dan.
Yeah.
You know,
it might relieve some of the pressure, no doubt. But if you put all the people that are in World Showcase at Disney Springs, it would be gridlock.
Well, you don't know once it's done. What do you see what it's after it's done with all the two towers? They're doing so much work down there, it's ridiculous.
This is true.
You don't know what it's going to be. I'm just talking out both sides, you know what I mean? But it's the point of, like, what all these kiosks are showing up and all these new restaurants and everything else down there, it couldn't stop it. There's quite a bit of room between both sides of Springs and West Side.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And I think they're widening that.
Exactly.
You know,
making it easier by boat.
Exactly.
Then you're talking to resort. Your Saratoga could be included. You don't know what they could do down there.
No, the sky's the limit, and it's exciting times. You know, hopefully when it's all done, it's going to be beautiful, I'm sure.
I get a quick piece of news, then.
Go ahead.
Did you see our gas station, the Hess station near the boardwalk, is closing down for refurbishment on October 13th?
I did see that.
I don't like that. I'm glad it's being done while I'm not there. That's my go-to gas station down there.
Yeah, I agree. When we used to drive down, we'd gas up there, usually top off when we got on property, and then we'd top off when we were leaving to go back home. So I know it well.
Yeah, we'd pop in there for snacks every once in a while on the way home because we, you know, over to Boardwalk and Yacht and Beach Club all the time. That's our go-to place for the 12-pack of Pepsi. You know. A thing of orange juice, you know, stuff like that. You could get reasonable stuff in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're redoing it. But I've never seen a gas station redone more than that one of you.
No, it seems like over the years that they keep up on it, which is a good thing.
Absolutely.
I'm willing to bet that Disney has that written into their contract. Part of having them on property is they need to maintain it, and it needs to be immaculate and up to date and all that good stuff. So I guarantee you, I'm not saying that Hess wouldn't do it on their own, but I'm sure Disney has a part in that and keeping it, you know, up to quote-unquote Disney standards.
It was funny, the last quick little thought, the last time we were there, we were all stuck there in the station for about 15 minutes because a family of geese were walking through the parking lot. They wouldn't move. They were, like, blocking everybody. The guys would go to chase him, and they would chase him back. He'd take off running like a big old bird himself, afraid of him. When geese get mad, they're no joke, man.
Oh, no, they're very territorial, and if they have young ones, forget it. You ain't getting near them.
Dude, it was funny. Like, it literally, they were like a marching band going across the Hess station, and nobody was going to get in the way.
Wow. Let's see here. Continuing at the downtown Disney location, the Planet Hollywood gift shop has been demolished. And for those of you that don't know which one it is, it's that one that used to have the spinning dinosaur on the top, which was kind of out towards the parking lot, if you will. And that's kind of sad. I remember my first trip to Disney World. That was we actually ate at Planet Hollywood because we got that coupon with our package, and we got sucked in.
Yeah, but Dixie Landing, boy, we went over there too.
Yeah, and I don't think I ever bought anything in there, and it's kind of hokey, but it's just an old memory, and it's kind of sad that it's gone. But progress and move forward.
I actually have one upstairs, a t-shirt that I got for free the last time we were there. I mean, the last one of the times we were there, we got a coupon for a free t-shirt.
Yeah, I have that one somewhere as well. I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a goofy t-shirt, but I still have it. Brenda tries to get rid of it on me, and it ain't happening.
Well, all right, a couple other things here. There's a whole bunch of small stuff going on, but let's see. Monday, the Haunted Mansion store over at the Magic Kingdom opened up, Memento Mori, and that's where the I used to call it the Flag and Candle store, but that store that's right in between Columbia Harbor House and the Haunted Mansion, it finally opened, and there's all kind of pictures online, and they got all kinds of Haunted Mansion merchandise, everything from a $10 pin to $100 paintings and anything in between. So that's kind of exciting that, they have attraction-specific merchandise, and it's just not Disney Parks. So hopefully this trend continues across property if it's successful and we see more specific merchandise for different things.
Oh, I love that. It's kind of like, to mention, you got me the Rose and Crown hat you sent me the other day that was says Walt Disney World World Showcase and all. I love the hat.
Oh, nice.
I'd never seen them. That's why I was so happy. So thank you again on air, Dan, for my wonderful Rose and Crown hat.
No problem. Like I said in the little card there, they were all out of Bangers and Mash hats, so I had to get that.
Oh, that would have been awesome. We need to make our own Bangers and Mash hats.
Yeah, that would have been good. But
we should. We should make our own Bangers and Mash hats and put all across the back of them WDW Main Street.
Yeah, there you go. Nobody would have that, that's for sure.
Okay, I'll be Bangers and you be Mash. How's that?
I don't know. I got to think about that. But I'll go with it.
Yeah. Well, I'm the more skinny one of the two of us, so.
All right.
What do you think?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, so we'll call you Mash from now on, and I'll be Bangers.
All right.
Go ahead,
buddy. Let me get a few more things in here, and then we'll get on to our Epcot discussion. Off-kilter fans, from what I'm reading here, that if you want to see Off-Kilter and you're a local down there, they're going to be performing in Kissimmee at the British Bonfire on November 8th, and that's an event that happens every year down there where they feature British food and fare and all kinds of stuff. So all of those folks that have missed Off Kilter can definitely go and see them on November 8th if they'd like.
You taking a trip down?
I think I am, yeah. I wish I was. that'll be nice, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
They'll
be back one way, shape, or form, I bet you.
Yeah. I'm hoping, which leads me to my next bit of news. And again, it's happened last week, but the Lumberjack Show did kick off at Epcot in the stage where Off Kilter used to perform, and they're doing their thing. And I'll just leave it at that, at least as far as the news goes. Couple of other things I just want to mention, and this is kind of a just a tidbit here, but Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley from Kiss, I don't know if you're aware of this, Doug, but they got a line of eateries across the country. It's called Rockin' Brews. And they're going to be opening up several of these restaurant-type chains in the state of Florida. And one of them's coming to Orlando, actually. Yeah, so it's just something else, another attraction. It's family fare, and, you know, it's rock-themed, obviously. But, you know,
the waiters and waitresses don't stick their tongue out at you.
I don't know.
They serve you, do they?
I don't know. We'll have to see about that. But for those that venture up to the that other park, that would be fairly close to where this is. So that might be something else, or a bit of a, not an attraction, but something to see that might be different.
Yeah, you might head to see that, but you're not going to go to the other park.
Mm-mm. I won't go up there, but just putting it out there. And just to wrap up here on a somewhat of a somber note, I just wanted to mention that we lost somebody in the Disney community last week, actually last Sunday while I was down there. Jonathan Grant, a gentleman that I met about 4 or 5 years ago. I was at a touring plans meet at Sleepy Hollow. And it was me, my wife, and my daughter. And it actually was the first meet I ever went to of all these different podcast meets. And Jonathan, for whatever reason, you know, made us feel welcome. He came right up to us, talked to us. You know, those things are kind of awkward when you're meeting a bunch of people that you don't know or you might only have tweeted with. And we spent, you know, probably 15, 20 minutes together and had an ice cream cookie sandwich with him. And he was such a nice guy. And he lived over in Tampa at the time. But he had been fighting stomach cancer for the past 18 months, and he passed on Sunday. He was 35.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Sorry for, you know, family, sorry for your loss.
Yeah. I mean,
you're in our thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, he was well known in the Disney community. He used to go to all the meets and stuff, and it's just unbelievable that young and such a jovial guy, and it's just a sad thing, but it is what it is, and R.I.P., Jonathan.
Well, hopefully he's up there with Walt and rested in peace.
There you go. All right, that's all I got. Let's get on with this Epcot show here.
Yeah, you started off with a happy thought there, Dan.
Yeah, I know.
But we're sorry for your loss, and hopefully he'll be listening to some Epcot talk.
There you go.
So how did you start off your week at Epcot, Dan?
Oh, I must have ate something.
Yes, you had to have.
How did I start off my Epcot? Just let me back up. I mean, I was probably at Epcot. I was there 5 full days. I bet you I was at Epcot 3.5 of the days, maybe even.
Sounds like our trip.
Yeah, so it's kind of all blended together here. I don't have a detailed. I can't be that specific, but, you know, I did a bunch of the booths, although I must say that I had a plan going in. I know we went over our lists with Bob Sikon and, you know, we talked about what we'd like to try, what we should try, what we don't want to try. And
yeah, let's start it off twice. You let us down. You let him down. You let me down. And then you let me down again.
Well,
you didn't have the crabless crab cake and you didn't eat the bangers and mash. So I don't know what your penance are. You did send the hat, which was a nice apology, but I'm still not happy with you.
Yeah. But you got to back up the bus here, buddy. You know,
now I'm buddy. I know I'm in trouble when I'm buddy. My buddy Eric in Florida, he does the same thing. You know, buddy, and you know something negative's coming.
No,
so let it
it's
rip.
It's not negative, but you're killing me here. But I seem to recall when you were in the Magic Kingdom and me and Bob were tweeting at you to go grab the pork shank. You blew us off, and oh, I was over on the other side of the park. So you know how it is when you're actually there and you got all the stuff you want to do and you have a plan, or maybe you don't have a plan. It doesn't always work out the way you want it to or you think it's going to.
But the difference is, buddy, now I have you on audio.
Yeah,
you have no proof whatsoever that I planned on getting the pork shank.
I don't know about that. I believe
proof and put it out there.
I think it was show 114, 13, 52 into the episode. You mentioned
okay.
The pork shank. No. Yeah, it's just one of those things. And all kidding aside, you know, you got to take into account the lines that are there, what's, you know, what you can get to in a reasonable amount of time, what you have to do, what your fast passes are. Like I had fast passes for Maelstrom, Soaring, Test Track, and different things. And, you know, by the time I was zigzagging back and forth from, you know, World Showcase to the Future World, and, you know, some of the things just it didn't work out. And I must say, you can only eat so much. I mean, you know, after you're there 4 or 5 hours and you've had, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 different entrees from different countries, you know, even if, you know, you were thinking about a crabless crab cake, first of all, it doesn't sound very good, and second of all, you're not hungry. So it's just one of those things I just never got over there.
And me and Brenda followed you. We were following all your food tweets, which was making us very hungry, but it was also, you were full, I could tell. You had some serious helpings. You were doing well.
Yeah, I think in Patagonia there, it was the beef empanada. Empanada, and then they had the beef skewer with the chimichurri sauce. That was awesome. One of the shows, Travel with Rick, that's his tip that he's been giving out for a couple of years now. Usually the empanada just comes plain, but if you ask, they'll give you the chimichurri sauce that comes with the only with the beef skewer. And putting some of that on there just puts it over the top. That was excellent.
Yeah, well, that's the insider trading right there. You get to know about that stuff.
Yeah. After a few times, you pick up on that. But that particular booth was very, very good. I'm trying to think of what else I had, what other kiosk I went to. I should just look at my pictures, and that would remind me. But anyways, going around the World Showcase, I'm going to get to this. I ate at Spice Road Table 3 times over the course of the 5 days. And for those of you that don't know, Spice Road Table is the new Mediterranean small plates restaurant that's across from Marrakesh, I believe, and it's right on the water there. It's been open, what, about a year now, I'd say,
yeah.
Yeah, roughly about a year. And the thing that I like about it is, you know, as the name implies, small plates is, you know, they're meant, you can't get a full entree there. Basically, it's a restaurant that serves you, I'd say, a little larger than appetizer size foods, but they're reasonably priced and varied and very, very good. The restaurant sits right on the lagoon there, so, and they have indoor and outdoor seating. I ate outside the times that I was there, and I can't say enough good about this restaurant. I mean, everything I had was good. It was hot. It was flavorful and just a great atmosphere. And on top of it all right now, you get a 20% annual pass holder discount. So it's a great value and great food, in my opinion.
We found it fantastic. I think one of the reasons why the crowds have been down there, like it would go in spurts. It was never totally packed, but I think a lot of that has to do is, from what I understand, the Disney dining plan, they don't take it there.
Yeah, you know, I don't use the dining plan, so I don't know. So you may be right, Doug. I don't know.
Yeah, from what I'm reading and what I've read, I don't think they take the Disney dining plan. And on one of the pages I have, it says no reservation. So I think they have it to where you come up and it's open, which is nice to have a restaurant like that, especially with the dining plan, with all the reservations being taken.
Right, right.
And people not using them, if you follow me. But the food there, we ate there, and we absolutely loved it. We ate there once, but we got 4 offerings. So it kind of made up for it, only eating there once. And we had the mixed grill skewers. Did you have them?
I did. They were awesome.
Aren't they really good? I like the chicken better than the beef, but they're both really good.
Nice.
And then the spicy garlic shrimp, then. Did you like that or no?
That was probably the best thing I had all weekend or all the time that I was there. I mean, just the and again, it's spicy, yes, as the name implies, but it's not, you know, blow your head off hot. But just kind of like an olive oily, you know, pepper, garlic, you know, sauce, if you will, that it comes in. And the shrimp were cooked to perfection. They weren't rubbery. They were fresh and hot. And, again, that was awesome. And it comes with a little bit of bread that you can dip in there. And, you know, I was alone, so, you know, I only got one thing at a time. This place would be great, like you did, Doug, if you had 3, 4, or 6 people or something, you know, and you ordered, you know, 4 or 6 of the entrees and everyone could share.
Well, that's exactly what we did, me, my wife, and my sister-in-law. And it was out of this world because we got the combination. I got the combination platter, which the sampler with the lamb slider, the chicken roll, and the Moroccan lamb sausage. Have you ever tried that?
Yeah, I'll get into that in a minute. But yes, continue.
Out of them three, I did have some of the lamb slider. I don't really like them. I took a piece off of it and gave the rest to my sister-in-law because she loves lamb. Mm-hmm. My wife refused to eat Bambi. I mean, eat the lamb, the little baby lamb, right. Not Bambi, but you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
And I did try the lamb sausage. Now, I did like, for some reason, I didn't feel as bad about eating a piece of the sausage as I did the lamb slider. I don't know why, because I'm just an idiot. But anyway, I liked the sausage better than the slider. But my favorite of all was the harissa chicken roll. That was really, really good. You've had that, you said?
Yeah, I did. I actually had that same trio that you just mentioned. I know I told you this off the air, but for the sake of the listeners, I'll just say I ended up doing the wind down at Spice Road Table because one night at Epcot, I actually went in there to grab something around 8:30 or so, and with the intention of watching illuminations from the outdoor seating pavilion, which I did. And as I was walking out, I had no intention of doing this. I saw a woman, or a cast member, I should say, at the at the front desk there when you walk back out on the World Showcase, and she had these red wristbands in her hand. And I said, oh, you know, what's this all about? And, you know, I kind of had a feeling once I saw the wristbands what it was for. And she says, oh, this is for the after-hours wind-down. So I gave it a shot. I said, gee, can you sign up for that now, or can you pay for it now, or do you got to book it through Disney Dining? And she wasn't sure, so she went back and got a manager. And, you know, I kind of thought I had read somewhere that you needed to book these things in advance. So I was expecting her to say, sorry, you know, you can't do it here. But she come right out and said, no problem. If you want to do it, here's your wristband. So back in I went at 9 o'clock or 9:20 or whatever time Illuminations got over. And I actually had that trio that you mentioned. And I would agree with you that the chicken roll, what did you say it was?
Harissa chicken roll,
yeah.
Is really, really good.
Yeah, and it came with an awesome sauce. And that was my favorite of the three as well. Yeah, the slider was just okay. You know, what I've come to learn on this trip, and I'll talk about a little bit more, another entree that I had, the lamb meatball from one of the kiosks that our good friend Bob Sycon, I think he's going to pick as the best in show, if you will, of all the things from Food and Wine. I just didn't like it.
Yeah, Bob from All In WDW, check his site out. It's a really good food site. He does so many reviews, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's up on.
He does a good job.
He does an excellent job, and he talked me into it. I met up with him and his wife a couple of times over the course of the 5 days that I was there. But anyways, he talked my ear off about how great this meatball was, and again, it came with a chutney sauce and a little bread type thing, not a roll, but it was like I don't know how to describe it, but anyways, the meatball sits inside of this bread thing and with chutney sauce on top of it, which was very good, but I just can't get over the lamb piece of it. And it isn't that I care that it's Bambi or anything like that. I just don't like the taste of lamb, and maybe part of it is psychological. If somebody said it was beef, maybe I wouldn't even know, but where it's called a lamb meatball, I can't do it. So I ate it, you know, it was all right, but I would never rank it as the, you know, number one thing that I had at Food and Wine.
Yeah, see how sad I am? I even got you calling a lamb Bambi. Come on, Bambi's a deer. We're two idiots here.
Right,
Northeast
right.
Dummies. But, you know, it's the same thing. Like, I don't know what it was, just the texture and all. Now, my sister-in-law, she loved that. She ate that like it was one of the best. It was her favorite thing, the lamb slider, I think.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah, I think you have to, like with Bob, I think lamb is an acquired taste, kind of like venison is. to me.
Yeah.
It has a different taste. And if you like it, I think you love it. If you don't, I didn't hate it, but I don't like it enough to eat it. I'd rather eat a lot of other things than that.
Right.
I'm not saying it's the worst thing I ever had. It's very tasty. If you like lamb, I'm sure you're going to love it. The sausage even had a different texture to it, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And again, I think some of it was psychological on my part. Mm-hmm. But I ate it, so it wasn't that, I couldn't even get it down. But I mean,
no, it was tasty, but it wasn't your favorite.
Exactly.
Now, you liked the hummus, didn't you?
Yeah, the hummus I actually got in a previous trip. I think it was in the spring when I went there, and that was off the charts good. And that's what I got the night that I went there for Illuminations, because I wasn't really that hungry, but I didn't want.
Yeah, well, you stopped and got a gyro on the way over.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you remember.
Come on
that.
Now,
no,
that's what me and my wife were watching, because she got the hummus that night,
right?
And she goes, "He's saying he wasn't that hungry and got the hummus." And three of us split it. Now, come on, Dan.
I'm not saying I ate it all, but I ordered it because I didn't want to sit down and not. I got a glass of wine, but I didn't want to just have the wine. I wanted to support the Spice Road table because I want them to stay open. So,
it's fabulous. Like the red pepper one is really good, isn't it?
Yes. It comes with two types of hummus: the red pepper, and then kind of a regular one, if you will, and then your favorite, all the olives and stuff in the middle, which I'm sure you stayed away from.
No, absolutely. This is how weird I am. Even though I don't like them, I still tried one because I like to try different things. I try everything because I don't foo-foo anything, if you follow me.
Right, right.
I like to say I didn't like that because if there was an olive or a way olives are made that I would like, I wouldn't mind eating them. I'm not like a guy that just goes in with a mind that I'm not going to eat anything. I like to try everything once.
Yeah.
So I did try one of the olives. I would never eat it again, but it wasn't horrible. If you find, I didn't spit it out.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be good for you too. That's healthy fat, as they say.
Yeah, and as we get older, I'll try things that I didn't like 10 years ago again to see if it was because I was an idiot and a kid. There's certain things that I don't like. There's been things in my life because I can't, and I'm hoping I like it as I get older because I don't have to, but I don't like oatmeal because I don't like the texture of it.
Right. See, I don't like oatmeal either, but when I'm being good and on my diet plan, I eat it because it's good for you and it's better than having an Egg McMuffin or something in the morning.
Absolutely. My wife makes me now zucchini muffins and muffins out of that, and we eat stuff. I like oatmeal cookies. It's just the mush texture. I don't like any, like applesauce.
Right, right.
I don't like that kind of texture on things.
Oh, hey.
So, but I try them to, as I get older, you don't know what's going to change. Because there were certain things I didn't like as a kid that I like as an adult now.
Yep. And that's what's great about food and wine in general is for, a couple of bucks here and there, you can try some things. And if you really don't like it, you're not out $40 for a full-on entree.
Yeah, well, like my sister-in-law here, because she sees spicy garlic shrimp. She's like, I can't have it too hot, blah, the whole nine yards. And we're like, Donna, all spices don't mean it's hot.
Right.
So don't get scared. Try it, and you'll like it. So we ended up getting to finish it off. We got the chef special, which was the sampler that you got.
Mm-hmm.
We got the hummus. We got the spicy garlic shrimp. And we got the mixed grilled skewers. And I have to say, everything was awesome. And if you think about it, you could sit down then and get a spicy garlic shrimp and a beer for less than $20 for $16.
Yeah.
I paid $11 at freaking McDonald's the other day, and I wanted to go in and scream.
Right.
And yeah, because it was cold as could be, but I drove away. I mean, I got home. I wanted to drive back and say, I just paid $11 for this slop. And I usually don't eat there, but at least it could be hot.
Right, right. No, I hear you.
And I'm thinking, I could have sat down for $10 and got spicy garlic shrimp. And everybody says Disney World is expensive, but I could have got spicy garlic shrimp at Spice Road Tables. And I'm also thinking for $5 more, I could have got bangers and mash at Rose and Crown.
Right, right. No, that's two good, options if you're budget conscious or not. I mean, it's a great place, a great place to go. Just to kind of wrap up on the wind down sampler that I did attend, for those listeners that might want to partake in this, you get to, that's the entree. You can't substitute it. It is what it is. That's what you get. But you get to choose either white wine or red wine. And then they give you three you know, like 2 ounce wine glasses. They're very small, like half the size of a normal wine glass. And the three wines that I actually had was a Kassar White, which is from Morocco, a light, fruity, and vibrant blended wine. Then I had an Angora Bayez from Turkey, which was a pale yellow with tropical fruit flavors. And then a Casera Blanc de Blanc from Lebanon, which had golden hues with flavors of hazelnuts and exotic fruits. The last one that I mentioned was the one that I liked the best, but they were all pretty good.
And then let me guess, you chased it down with a chocolate pyramid with almond ice cream.
Yes. The dessert did come with it, and that's I described it to you off the air, but you did a great job as describing it for me. That was delicious. It was a good way to top off the night, and I actually have my receipt here. So it's $35 for the wind-down sampler, if you will, and then with tax and everything, it came to $37.28. Then a 20% tip on top of that, so you add $7-$8 to that, you know, it's still over $40 a person, $42 a person, if you will. So, I mean, it's not cheap, I guess I'd say. And there are three other locations too that offer this wine down. Via Napoli, I think. I believe over in Mexico is another one, and United Kingdom, I believe, has one as well, them four places. So they're all different, obviously, different food offerings and drink offerings, but the price is the same for any of the four, and you can book them in advance through Disney Dining.
That would be awesome. So let's recap. You ran into the park, you grabbed the gyro, then you shot over to the Spice Road table, sat down, had a glass of wine
mm-hmm.
with hummus.
Mm-hmm.
Then you stayed late, had the chef's specialty, the slider, the roll, and the Moroccan lamb, three more glasses of wine, and finish it off with a chocolate pyramid. I would say that was one hell of a night, huh?
Well, yeah, and then I walked over to the, where'd I go, to the boardwalk to catch a cab back to Pop.
So at least you worked it off then.
Well, maybe one little bite I did. But it was kind of nice, and this is something that everyone says about partaking in this wine down sampler. I mean, when I walked out of there, I was literally alone. It was not eerie, but it was just nice to make that walk.
Relaxing.
Yeah, all the way over the bridge and, you know, by France there, and then bang a left and go out. And I kind of laughed when I went by that store because I think we were joking around last week on the
never
show.
Closed.
It was closed.
No, it was?
Yeah.
The International Gateway store was closed?
Yeah, the store was closed. I just chuckled because I actually tried the door because the lights were still on, but it was definitely closed. So I have seen that store closed now.
Okay. There you go. The mystery is solved.
Yeah.
But to kick off a little bit of my day at Epcot, we started off, which we always do, we took a stroll. We go over to Yacht and Beach Club. We hung out for a little bit, and then we strolled in through International Gateway, which I love that area, Dan.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Is there anything better than walking along there and seeing the Friendship boats go by?
Well, not only that, but yes, that is a beautiful view, and they got that big butterfly that made out of flowers that's up on the
hill there,
yeah,
by Faith, France.
Exactly. But, you know, I notice it all the time, and I'm sure you do too. The music, the ambient music starts.
Absolutely.
As soon as you go over that bridge, it just very, you can hear it faintly, and the further you walk down the walkway there, it really gets you in the mindset of, oh, I'm going into World Showcase, and that music is, I love that background loop.
And know whatever all the little kids need to know, which I do every time. Every time you see one of the Friendship boats, do the little tug like you do with the truck drivers and get them to blow their horn at you.
Right, right.
It's awesome.
They love doing that, too.
My wife looks at me, here we go.
Yeah.
I don't do it all the time, but we did it the one time on the way home. It was just the three of us,
mm-hmm.
and the boat was going to studios. We were walking home from studios, and we did it, and it was nice at nighttime, and I did it when they were right under the bridge, so it really made a big boom.
Draw attention to yourself, right?
Absolutely. It just, I feel like a kid, man. It's one of those fun things, you know, make the trucker blow his horn.
Yeah.
Make the boat blow their horn, the Friendship boats. But, yeah, we went over. We started the day off after we went in the park. We roam through because the international gateway was closed. You know what I mean? All the countries were still closed. We went up. We actually, the first thing we actually did was Spaceship Earth.
Okay.
And it was weird to, because we actually had that for a Fast Pass just because it was one of the options for early, because I was trying to get the Fast Passes over with so we can get more.
Right.
If
right.
that makes sense to you.
Oh, yeah. You want to do them early, as early in the day as you can, so you can get extra ones for later on at night.
And it was weird. Like, we took Fast Pass, and it was shockingly it worked because there was, like, a standby line there of 15, 20 minutes.
Right.
Which was still long, but we got on there, and I rode it myself. My sister-in-law and wife rode along, so I got to slide back and forth between both sides. I was taking more pictures than you could believe of that ride. But that ride, that's one of those ones that you have to do every trip. You didn't get on it this trip, right?
Spaceship Earth?
Yeah.
I did not.
Shame on you.
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, again, not to justify how I toured.
No,
but
I'm kidding.
No. I'm just saying, when I go down there for this weekend, it's really about people and meets and different things.
Food and wine.
Yeah. I mean, attractions really are secondary to me. And, you know, I know one morning I tweeted a bunch of pictures. I went over to the festival center. You know, I was there shortly after rope drop, and I was looking for some merchandise, some Vinylmation that didn't come out, but that's a whole nother story. But on my way over to World Showcase, I cut by Test Track, and the single rider line was no wait, so I just jumped on there and took a quick ride on Test Track, walked by Mission Space, which I did not go on.
Now, that's one ride I wish they would shut down. I know I'm probably out there on an island by myself. Are you there with me?
I've never even been in the queue line, never even walked through the gates, never doesn't interest me.
Well, you should do what I told you to do before with it is interesting in there. You'd really like it. You should do the chicken line. And you know what?
What?
More people use the chicken line on that ride than any ride in the park, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware of it. They get the green and the orange, and, you know, it's just, again, it's like lamb. It's just not for me.
Now, I've done both just to say I've done them, but I don't really need to do it ever again. And my wife got mad at me because of my motion sick doing it.
Right.
But that was one of the times where I was alone. It was me, my brother-in-law, and my godson.
Right.
And they were insisting on going on it. I was with my godson. I had a man up and just do it. So that's basically the reason I did it, because
right.
I wasn't looking like no chump to my godson.
I hear you.
But no, we did Spaceship Earth. I love that every time. That's kind of like doing the People Mover for me, Dan. I have to do that every ride. I just love going on that. There's something about that. It's just pure Disney.
Yeah, I mean, the 3-4 times that I walked past Spaceship Earth on the way out of Epcot, I looked over, and every time that I looked over, the standby line was like 20 minutes, and it was just one of those things. Had it been 5 minutes, I would have went on it, but 20 mm-hmm. minutes, you know, I wanted to get back, shower, or whatever I was going to do, and, you know, I just didn't do it. Like I said before, I sound like a broken record, but, you know, I know I'm going back, and I can do it, and it's not a big deal, but, you know, it's a great attraction, though, no doubt.
No, it's just that's how we started the day off. Then we went over to Test Track, and we probably did Test Track like 5 times this trip. It's my sister-in-law's favorite ride,
mm-hmm.
and I don't complain. And I have to admit, I think I like the new Test Track overall better than the original.
I don't myself, but that's just me. I think that, I don't know, just all the neon lights and the way it is. I mean, obviously it's the same track. It's the same layout. And, you know, the tractor-trailer that almost hits you is the same. It's just, you know, it's just done up differently. But I don't know. I kind of preferred the old rooms where you'd go in with the heat lamps and then they'd give you the freeze zone and all that. And I don't know. To me, it's more boring now. But that's just me.
No, I think it runs better. I think it's smoother. I think it I like they did a little bit nuance changes to the track, a little bit, but not much. But the way it runs, I think, because what I think, it don't slow down as much. I think it moves faster through the inside than it did before.
Yeah,
to me.
I would say it seems smoother. I would agree with that. But to me,
and then the pre-show, I like the whole idea of the creating the car and all that stuff. It's more interactive to me.
See, and that's where you and I are different. I could.
So you don't like computers. You're like totally anti-computer.
I blew right by that. I could care less what the car looks like, because at the end of it, It's all fictitious. It doesn't do a thing. It means
nothing. No, but
nothing.
Then you could no, but for the it's nice because you could take that. It does do something because you could take that car afterwards and race it on all those other computers that were in that in the ride end area.
Right.
When you're leaving, where all the Chevy cars and all are.
Yep.
You actually insert your you could bring your car up with your Magic Band and race it against other cars.
Well, I'll be over in Mexico having a margarita while you're
hey, exactly, but you're not a computer guy, dude. That's the problem. You're like my brother Don. He's anti-computer. Like, he'll come up with, as soon as a hack happens, mm-hmm. oh, that's what's the problem with computers, blah, 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 blah. I said, Don, so nobody ever stole your identity before computers. You're telling me Bonnie and Clyde didn't rob banks. I mean, there's always been thieves. He acts like the world was a better place back when they didn't have computers.
Right.
No, people are living to be 100 now or 90, like, common.
Right.
I told him, I said, when you have your back surgery, what you should do, because he had surgery, you should have gone in with a bottle of whiskey, a Bowie knife, and a stick.
Yeah.
Don't get a laser, Don.
Right.
And when you're going over, take your horse and buggy with that bad back instead of that brand new Chevy pickup with the air ride in it, you know. No, I want you to go take in a Bowie knife, a bottle of whiskey, and a stick, and let the doctor go at it.
There you go.
You know, it's with no. It's just like you're anti-computer, like he is. I get you.
No, I'm not.
I get
not
you
anti-computer.
Now.
I love my iPad. I love my iPhone and my computer.
No, I'm talking about like games.
Oh,
you're not
yeah.
a computer game kind of
no,
guy.
No, not at all. That's well, we can leave Toy Story Mania out of it, but
yeah.
But I thought you were just talking about, you know, the far as the attraction. Well, I guess technically
yeah.
that is the attraction. It's in as a whole.
Yeah, because it was nice. It was actually – because I've been in that ride before. What the point I wanted to make is when you used to go in the ride with all the parts and all that other stuff,
yeah.
the young kids were like kind of bummed out standing in line because they didn't understand what a motor was or they would lean against the old rails and mm-hmm. do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
At least with this, you'd see all the kids with their parents having fun creating the car.
Right, right.
There's more interaction with the parents, I think, is what my point was.
Yeah,
the whole
I saw a lot of kids and – family's doing that, so I can't disagree with that.
Yeah, the whole family was together having fun creating their car. It was something that made the time go by faster than waiting in that line.
Sure, it's definitely a diversion or a distraction, absolutely.
No, we did Soarin' multiple times this trip again, as usual, which my wife can never get enough of Soarin'. She loves that ride.
I got to agree.
And I know, did you do that this
I
trip?
I did get on once, yes.
Yeah, you can't refuse that.
No, it's yeah. you know, with Fast Pass, you can just pretty much walk right on. That's a must-do when you go to Epcot.
Well, we got lucky. We did Fast Pass a couple of times, but the one time we walked over, we got done eating dinner at United Kingdom. We walked over to go. We were going to do Living with the Land and just hang out for a little bit before Illuminations and all.
Yeah.
We walked over there. Standby was 10 minutes for Soarin'.
Wow.
We walked right on the ride. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was shut down. We walked right on, got on, didn't even need a fast pass because we were actually going to go to do the land and seeing if we get a late fast pass, if you follow me.
Right,
we
right.
could just get one. We walked over. It was like a 10-minute line, but literally we walked right on. I've never had that happen.
Yeah.
By the time we got off the ride, it was back up to 40 minutes.
Wow. Yeah, maybe you're right. It might have been shut down for a while and everyone just walked away and you hit it just when it reopened.
It was one of those things that never happened before and probably will never happen again, but it was awesome.
Yeah, a little bit of luck.
No, and then we roamed around. Because we were there like you three different nights.
Right.
Every night, four nights, whatever it was, we ended up back at Epcot every night. We did the usuals. We did your, we're sad to say, I know you got to get on at your Maelstrom.
Mm.
We did that a couple times.
Yeah.
How many times did you do it?
I think three times over the 5 days that I was there. And I did do it on the last day as well, which was I had never seen this before. But as you can imagine, they had the switchback lines that were going back and forth all in that whole courtyard there all the way up to Accushares or however you say that. You know, it was – I'd say it was when I – the first time I went through, it was a 55-minute wait, and then it was over 70 minutes for the pretty much the rest of the day on that last day. But, I will say that the cast members made it a pretty special day. They were, you know, really how can I say it? They were just into it, and they were, you know, trying to make it as a happy experience as possible, because a lot of them got displaced. They're, you know, obviously with that attraction down, that's a lot of jobs that go away, at least temporarily, until the new attraction opens. But, you know, they got put elsewhere in Epcot. I overheard a conversation with a couple of cast members, and, you know, they were putting them out in the World Showcase, directing traffic or whatever. But, you know, it was bittersweet, if you will, on that last day. And again, we won't go into the whole Maelstrom thing again. We beat that to death. But, you know,
I know.
Bottom line is it's, you know, been there my whole Disney, you know, life, if you will. And it's just sad to see something with a lot of great memories go away. But, you know, we must move forward, as they say, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think they're going to do something really special myself. I'm going to miss it too, dude. It was one of my favorites, one we did every single trip. I don't think there's ever been a trip to Epcot that I didn't go on Maelstrom as far as a vacation. I'm not saying every time I've been in Epcot I did, but every trip we've been down there, we've done it at least once. It's always been a favorite of mine. Hey, I always do Mexico's boat ride, every Three Caballeros every single time we go. It's just tradition. It's kind of like, I call that the It's a Small World of Epcot.
Yeah, no, I did that again this trip, and that's, again, it's, as you know, it's great, you know, especially when it's hot out, which it generally is in Florida. It's great to go in that pavilion and, you know, take the 10 minutes to go through that attraction. There's usually not much of a wait, if any wait at all, and it's a nice little enjoyable boat ride.
I love it because every time we go into the Mexican Pavilion, I love being in there. I just love roaming around in there and just hanging out because it's one of the most beautiful interiors in all of Disney World, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you know what's funny to me about it? We were talking about the Main Street Confectionery on the last show. It's just the opposite in there. It's as dark as a cave in there. You almost can't even see in front of you. It's so dark.
But it's beautiful the way that everything's laid out in there. And in the boat ride, you usually walk right on.
Yep.
Which is always awesome. You know what I mean?
It is.
So, and then we did a little bit of everything, and we did roam through Mouse Gears multiple times, which you have to do on every trip to Epcot. Do you agree?
Yeah, I like that store. I mean, you know, aside from the World of Disney downtown and, you know, the Emporium on Main Street USA, I mean, I don't know. I'd say that's probably my favorite store. I mean, you can pretty much get anything you want there, and you know, even if you're just cutting through to get to Test Track or something, you can go through there, and it's always nice and cold and air conditioned, so it's a great place to go.
It's my favorite store. The only thing that freaks me out is that you get that bitter water smell sometimes in there.
Yeah. I didn't notice it this time, so I don't know if they changed something or whatever, but yeah, that funky smell has always been there, that as far as I can remember.
Absolutely. Well, we always cut through coming from Test Track to go back to World Showcase. I usually go through there, or sometimes I go the other way, go by the ever shut down restaurant that's out there. You know what I'm talking about?
The Odyssey.
Yeah, the Odyssey. I couldn't think of a name. Yeah. Thank you. We always walk by the Odyssey and go over by Mexico, in the pavilion.
Yeah, well,
come in between Mexico and International Gateway there.
Yeah, well, during Food and Wine, or at least this year, this is the first year, the craft beer. They put in there this year. So it used to be just a kiosk out on the World Showcase. But
yeah,
this year they actually used the Odyssey site, if you will, to actually host the craft beer pavilion. And it was very nice in there and air-conditioned and spacious. So I'm glad to see, at least for the festival, they're utilizing that space.
Well, I know they use that, from what I hear, for special parties and stuff like that. They rent it out all the time.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
For conventions and all. But I wish they would open that back up to a restaurant the way it was supposed to be, in my opinion.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe they'll put a Frozen-themed restaurant in there.
Oh, you're being bitter.
No, I'm not. I'm
you're
serious.
Being bitter.
I'm serious.
Man, you're being bitter, buddy. You're my bitter buddy.
Maybe they'll put the Lumberjacks in there.
Yeah, we'll call you Bitter Mash. No, we did get to see, speaking of your Lumberjacks, we got to see Off-Kilter, we got to see them twice, actually. And then I got to speak to Jamie and all, and he confirmed it before, and it was a shame, but it was nice to hear them one last time down there. You didn't get to hear them, did you?
No, I did not. They had already, I think, the 27th of September was their last show, so I did not, and it was missed. And, you know, part of it was obviously it's just so close to the, you know, the end of their run, if you will. You know, it was sad.
No, we watched quite a little bit because my sister-in-law don't get down there all the time. It was only her second trip with us over the last 20, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So she actually liked that. We listened to them and Moroccan. I mean, not Moroccan, British Invasion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, or Revolution, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. No, I think it's a British Invasion. You're right.
Yeah. We listened to them quite a bit, both groups. We listened to them do their whole set, and Donna really enjoyed that. And the other thing is we ate at Rose and Crown not once but twice. We ate there the first night, one of our first nights.
Yeah.
And then one of the last nights on our trip, we were going over there, and we didn't have a reservation. We were headed back to Epcot, and my sister-in-law and my wife go, we could go for bangers and I joked. I said, I could go for bangers and mash. And they said, Donna goes, I could eat that again. And my wife goes, well, I didn't have it yet. So we walked over, and we had a reservation within 20 minutes. And we all ate bangers and mash again.
Nice.
Which I got to eat it twice on this past trip, and you couldn't even find time once.
I'm telling you, I'll get there. I promise you.
Yeah, well, you have to. But it was incredible. I mean, everybody out there. Like I said, I've repeated many, many times. Let me be honest with you. For the money, I think it's the best price meal on the property.
Yeah.
It really is. Our buddy from All In WDW, he had it recently, him and his wife, and they couldn't believe how good it was.
Yeah, he's a convert.
Yes, you got it. When you go in this spring, if you can get over there, maybe you cancel your trip over to Raglan Road and go there.
Well, like I said, what I'll probably do is just my wife and I will go there. The two dinners that we have ADRs for scheduled now is for the six of us, but we're not going to be eating together each and every night. So I'll definitely get over to the Rose and Crown. Maybe we'll try for a late ADR and see Illuminations there one night or something.
Yeah, well, I would start on that right now then.
All right, I'll call my travel agent and have them book that for me.
I'll do that. I'll call for you as soon as you can. When you're 60 or 100, you're in your 180-day window,
yeah,
ain't you now?
Yeah, I could do it right now. You're correct. Yeah. I'm 149 days out.
Yeah, well, we got a call then.
All right, we'll talk about that after the show.
Yeah. And then we also ate at the Katsura Grill, which is one of my favorites. Have you ever eaten there?
I don't think so.
Dude, you got to try. Do you like sushi?
No, hate sushi.
Have you ever tried it?
Yep.
Yeah, because we did it for the first time this trip because we always wanted to. We both love fish.
Mm-hmm.
And we both decided if anywhere we're going to try it, it'll be at Disney because I said I wanted to try more things. And we tried it. And Dennis, it was absolutely out of this world. We went back. We went back for more.
Really?
We had the California rolls.
Well, that's not
but we
fish,
also,
though.
No, it has crab in it.
No, does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But then we also got the Tokyo Sushi Combo, which is the California rolls and the three pieces of nigiri, which is the salmon, the tuna, and the shrimp. Oh, my God. Was it out of this world? I mean, the fish, they tell you, the fresher the fish, it don't stink, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yep.
And you could not smell. I mean, it was just we ate the salmon and the tuna, and it was to die for.
Yeah, I mean,
we loved it.
My thing with sushi is, and my son's a food connoisseur and he's a chef, so he's into all that stuff. I wouldn't mind the fish, but I just can't get over eating it raw. That's what bothers me. I mean, I like salmon, I love tuna and stuff like that, but I can't eat it raw.
Yeah, it was just so, we were expecting the worst and it was so good, man. It was really, we thought about getting everything again, but we were too stuffed.
Yeah. You're going to get into it so you eat that eel and all that stuff too?
I don't know, dude. I would try it, like I just said.
Right,
I would try anything once, like I have. But and I enjoy that part. It's so good. Like, we were so shocked. We loved it so much. It was like a high-five moment.
Right.
This is good. You know, but my sister-in-law, she chickened out. She just got a... She was afraid to try it. She just went with a standby, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She got the teriyaki beef with the steamed vegetables and rice, you know what I'm saying?
That's what I would have got.
Yes. But would you have tried it with us if you were there, if we tried to offer it to you at least?
Yeah, I would have, and I think I told this story on the podcast before. When my son was younger and we were going down to Disney World, and the reason we love going to the California Grill, because that was one of the first places we ever went for a quote-unquote expensive sit-down, and there used to be a world-renowned sushi chef there, Yoshi. She was one of only 5 women sushi chefs in the world, or certified or whatever. And
Just having fun hearing you say
yeah,
sushi.
I know. I talk good.
Go ahead.
But anyways, the old California Grill, or at least the way it used to be, and I haven't been in there since it's been renovated, but they used to have some seats right up at the sushi bar, if you've ever been in there. And my son ordered sushi because, again, he's bold. He tries all kinds of stuff. But we were just there for the regular entrees. And Yoshi, this woman, she would, as she was making the, California rolls and all kinds of other exotic stuff, she was talking to my son back and forth. She started talking to my wife and I, and, we said, "Oh, no, we don't eat sushi." And she would cut off a little piece of whatever she was making, and she fed us sushi all night long. We must have had 8 or 10 pieces, just little bite-sized pieces of the different rolls and different sushi offerings that they had. So she did make us eat it, basically. She said, "By the time you leave here," and she talks with a thick, Japanese accent or whatever, she was a blast to be with. And, it was edible. And you know how you get the, they have that paste there. What is it, the wasabi paste? And,
Yeah.
The different flavoring. So to answer your question, Doug, yeah, I mean, I would try it, but I wouldn't just sit down and say, "Oh, gee, I'm hungry. I'm getting some sushi." It just isn't my thing. But I mean, I would try it, yes.
The one thing it was awesome. We enjoyed it. We were stuffed, and we wanted to go back. I wanted to try the green tea cheesecake.
Green tea cheesecake.
It sounded would you is That's something I would like to try, just because it sounds so different, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's healthy, right? You got green
Yeah,
tea in it.
exactly. But that's my reasoning. Like when I told you we were going and doing different things, you can do food and wine in Disney year round.
Right.
If you really look, there's so many hidden opportunities for things, like the different tacos at Mexico. It's just so nice. You eat your way around the world and share things with each other.
Oh, no doubt about it. You're absolutely right, Doug. I mean, we haven't even scratched the surface, and I guarantee you there is stuff there that we don't even know about. We just never were told about, or never happened to just,
Well,
come upon it.
just like right now, have you ever heard of the green tea cheesecake?
Nope. First time I ever heard
Exactly.
of it.
Now, doesn't that sound like something fun just to try, to say you tried it?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just so many different things like that. I mean, I would like to try their miso soup and different things like that. It's like and you're trying it there, it's authentic. Even though it's counter service, it's still authentic Japanese food. It's not,
Right.
you know what you're getting. Prepared by a Japanese chef. You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, it's
So.
amazing that, the stuff that they have to offer there. And, the trouble I always have, and I think this is, an issue with most people, you always have your favorites. Like, use your example of bangers and mash. I mean, you had that a couple of times while you were there. You could have chose to eat somewhere that you'd never have eaten before, but you're torn between trying new things and still enjoying your favorites.
Well, what kind of hurt us, and nothing, I love her, and it's not be affect Donna. Like, I knew Donna liked that, and she was in craving it to go back to it. I just wanted to please her because she's not as adventurous as we are.
Right.
So that kind of stopped me because I would have maybe tried something else that night.
Right.
Me and Brenda, we're very explorative. Like, we love to. We Brenda watches the Chew, which, to give everybody out there, the Chew is at Disney World this week. They did a special on food and wine. It's a cooking show on ABC. It's at every day. It's at 1 a.m. 1 p.m. My wife tapes it and watches it in the morning. And they had a special on food and wine. So if you guys want to look that up on ABC.com, check that special out. It was pretty good on food and wine. And we love watching the Chew. There's four chefs on there, and me and her love creating different meals all the time. We love doing that stuff, and we'd probably fit in well with your son.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I've joked about this before, but he's so critical because, you know, he knows it from the inside out, if you will. So, you know, he can be a bit of a nitpicker when it comes to food because he knows how it should be or how he thinks it should be prepared. But he still enjoys it when he goes down there.
Well, that's how me and Brenda get. Like, we're eating around the world, but the thing we love about eating at Epcot and any of Disney, you know, everything's fresh. I've never complained about anything being not fresh. Now, I talked about at Riverside. I tell everybody now to go over and go to the self-made omelet instead of getting a regular. It's not even any more money. It's just you wait a couple minutes, but it's worth the wait to have your meal cooked fresh, don't you think?
I do. And it's funny you say that. I'll just add in that during my trip, and it just occurred to me, I never had a breakfast the whole time I was there. I just, because I knew I was going to Food and Wine, I said, man, what am I going to do? Fill up on Mickey waffles and stuff. So I just didn't have a breakfast the whole time I was there, which I've never done that before.
No, and that's what I, but it's nice that you went and filled up, but if you were there, you would have probably did what I said, or you could have gone and did they have stations like that at the new food court? You
Yeah, I was
were
at
at Pop
Pop,
this
yeah.
truck. Yeah, they have that at the food
Oh,
court there
yeah.
now,
They
don't
have
they?
the new menus, the rotating
Yeah.
menus up there. So I'm assuming, like I said, I never even went into the food court for breakfast, so I couldn't tell you exactly what they had, but I'm assuming they have the typical Disney fare for breakfast.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna go. You could get the breakfast platter, which is $6.79, or you can go create your own omelet for $7.99. You're getting scrambled eggs anyway. Go over and create your own omelet, and you still get your sides with it, if you understand what I'm saying. And it's fresh, it's hot. I mean, that's the only complaint of the entire trip, that the Bounty platter was always cold.
Yeah, you had mentioned that, and you know,
Yeah.
I've had them Bounty platters a hundred times over the years, and
Me too.
I don't remember them necessarily being hot or cold. I mean, you know, it's just like anything else. I suppose it's how far in advance they're making them, how big the line is. I mean, if the line's cranking through quickly, they should be fairly hot. If the line's, you know, if there's no line, that's probably worse for you because they're sitting under a heat lamp or something, and that's where you may get your cold issue.
Yeah, well, the good thing is I did not eat at the Fife and Drum Tavern, which you so eloquently tweeted out a picture of it when you
Yes,
were down there.
yes.
That's the only other place I've gotten cold food. There used to be a place years ago, the very first place we ate. Did you ever remember Goofy's Grill in Downtown Disney?
Yeah, you told this story before,
Yeah.
and I vaguely
Hockey
remember
puck.
it. Yeah.
It was a cold hockey puck. My wife goes, I can't believe how much you're eating. That was back when I was younger. I used to burn calories when I walk, like you wouldn't believe. I was a real skinny dude. But no, I love everything. I love trying. I mean, so many people I don't think give the counter service at the countries at Epcot enough credit.
Oh no, you're absolutely right. There is many, many things, and you know you got to be a little adventurous though, and willing to try something that may not sound like something you'd like or whatever. But more often than not, you'll be surprised, and you'll end up liking it.
Well, let me guess this then. I bet you had school bread, didn't you?
I did, but I was good this trip. I only had it once.
And I had it twice. But I had it twice, but I probably ate less than you because I shared it with two people.
Yeah, no, hey, that they're pretty big, so definitely, you know, you could have two, you know, at least two, even three, if you just want to have a little nosh, if you will.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that whole area. I mean, I have a couple of the shirts and a hat from I have a hat from that clothier store where you get off when you get off the Maelstrom ride.
The
I mean, I
expensive
love that
store.
whole area, but it's expensive in there, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they have some beautiful merchandise, and I've often looked at the, you know, like even the winter hats or different things. But, you know, then you look at the price tag, and it's $48 for a knit hat. It's like, I don't care how nice it is, I ain't getting that.
No, the jackets are 100, but then when you think about it, and this is where, because people say they're expensive, but then I come home and buy a North Face jacket for $180. So
Right.
it's the same quality. So maybe if you do want one, if you live up in the Northeast, they are warm. They are warm clothes. that they
sell
there.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, I know you went through that shop, and, you know, they've frozenized the outer portion where the big troll is. That's pretty much all frozen at this point, and it'll just be interesting to see as this new attraction nears completion and opening, if indeed, you know, that whole store may just change over to Frozen. I wouldn't be surprised.
I know you wouldn't be happy.
At this point, I really don't care. I mean, it is what it is, and, you know, like I said, I rarely bought anything in there, so, you know, if they rethemed it to Frozen, I guess that would make sense. I mean, they get you all jazzed up coming off the attraction, and then they're going to throw that merchandise right in your face, so I could see them doing that.
I think they might convert a little bit. I think they're also going to go more to the style of the show with the clothes in there, maybe more like what the guys cut in the ice with the checkered shirts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
More like that style.
Mm-hmm.
Little more, you know, I don't know. I hope they keep some of the clothes. I hope they don't totally change it. I'm thinking there's going to be a happy medium. I think it's going to be more a happy medium than everybody thinks. I don't think it's going to be over the top.
Well, time will tell.
Well, our time is told. We're almost up on this one.
Well,
we'll continue a little bit more. We'll let you go. What do you got left?
I was just going to kind of close the loop here because this does pertain to Epcot, and I know we're getting long here, so we'll wrap it up. But I did see the second ever show of the Lumberjacks. Well, I should say I saw 6 minutes of the 13-minute show, and I know you watched the video online, which was of the first show, I believe, if you saw the YouTube video that's out there. What are your thoughts?
I didn't like it. I was going to kind of not trash it this week, but I think young boys might like it, young kid, for a couple minutes, but it wasn't, the jokes were even too corny for me. It wasn't like they weren't as good as Streetmosphere. They were trying to be Streetmosphere Lumberjacks, and they weren't that funny. Like we seen at the studios, which I'll leave a little tidbit out.
Mm-hmm.
Know how they do the cop, the cop and the
yeah.
policeman,
yeah.
The cowboy and all, and they tell the jokes.
Yep.
And we sat there, my sister-in-law, we couldn't pry her away, barely. I think she thought the cowboy was cute, but that's just me. But that was fun. Putting them in the back, up in the truck, lock, you know, telling them he lost.
Yep.
We had a great time. We each got some snacks, and we're sitting there and a drink and watched them, and it was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
If the Lumberjacks could have been something like that, I'd appreciate it more. But they bombed, in my opinion.
Well,
and I hate to say it because I wasn't totally against it. I was on the fence like I normally am.
Right.
But that was – I watched it. I YouTubed it and watched the whole video on a 55-inch flat. So it wasn't like I didn't get the full effect.
Right.
I wish I'd have watched it on my iPhone. I might have liked it more.
Well, I agree with everything you said, Doug, and that was my point as well. From what I understand, these guys are local Floridians, and it just seemed to me that they were trying to force it down your throat that they were Canadian, and they didn't do it in a funny way. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but it was kind of like over the top. They were trying to – they had these corny – Canadian names, or they were calling each other, and I agree with you. I think at the heart of it, you know, the gentleman that was kind of the MC, if you will, or the group, he's not a trained Streetmosphere, you know, actor type guy of that quality. He's a lumberjack, or he runs a show, and it didn't translate to me. I tweeted this out. I almost felt embarrassed for them guys up there because I thought they were so bad that it was embarrassing to me. Not that that was the show they were putting on, but just that it was just so bad. It was just, I don't know, it was horrible. And I say that haven't seen it firsthand. Now, maybe they'll tweak it. Maybe they'll make some additions. Maybe they'll change it up. Maybe they need some background music because there's nothing going on as far as, you know, you know, it's just, quote unquote, it's boring. I mean, you know, once you see a couple guys throw an axe, I mean, it is boring.
See, I think what the problem with the show was, and this is my opinion, I miss Off Kilter too. I like walking by knowing they're comforting. It's old hat. But I wanted to give the new show a chance. I think the biggest problem is it's this guy narrating a bunch of guys you don't know. I think they should all have mics. They should all be part of the routine so you can relate to all of them. It's just like he's talking about his four idiot buddies is the way it comes off to me.
Yeah, kind of. And
I don't want to call anybody names, and I'm not trying to – they seem like nice guys. They work for Disney. They're not bad guys.
Right,
it's just
right.
There's no flow to the show.
Right, and the thing that you probably couldn't ascertain from, you know, seeing the video, but having been there, I mean, they do use chainsaws, and you do smell the carbon monoxide, and they put those, if you saw, when they were actually...
glass front of them.
Yeah, they get the plastic, so you really can't even see, because, you know, those things get dirty from all of the... you know, from the wood shavings and chips that are coming off the chainsaw. It's very, I don't know. I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I say within 3 months they won't be there. I don't know what will be there, but I can't see this show making it, but I could be wrong.
Like, I feel bad for the guys. I wish them nothing but the best. It's just the show was not good. And I went into it accusing you of being prejudice against it before it even started, which you were a little bit.
I was.
But I can't say you're wrong. I tried to enjoy it because I wanted to break your stones and say, I thought it was great, man.
Right. No, you know, but even if you take the off-kilter piece out, which I agree personally myself, that's part of it. But if you just take the show, stand it by itself on its own merit, I've found very few people that have said that they really enjoyed it. There's a few people out there, but I mean, it's been 90-10 negative at least, and that doesn't mean anything. Disney may just put its head down and move forward and say, well, that's what we got and that's what you're going to get and that's it. But it'll be interesting to see.
I think it's temporary. I think, and I told you this off the air, I think there's a major shoe to drop coming up at Epcot. Because it's the only part that a major shoe hasn't dropped, besides the little monster. I think there's a lot more to do. There's you know, the rumors of Illumination. I think there's major changes coming to World Showcase in the near future after they get the other stuff caught up. But I think that's next on the docket.
Yeah, I mean, the rumors are swirling again about an additional country or two coming in and, you know, all kinds of things like that. So, who knows?
And I don't want to prematurely wrap us up earlier, but we'll cover more of Epcot. Me and you, just so the listeners know, we'll be talking some more about it. I know you have more food. I got a little bit of the studios and Animal Kingdom to talk about with the construction and all there. And we'll be covering our trips the next couple of weeks because we both went within the last month. So we got a lot more to talk about, but we're already at an hour and 20, buddy, so I don't want to totally bore the people.
Yeah.
They're probably at work. And I know everything we say they want to hear, so I don't want to keep them in the car before they go into work. You know how that is.
Yeah, we don't want to make anybody late for work, that's for sure.
Yeah, they hit pause and leave me home in the car. But you got anything else to say, my good friend?
No, that's going to do it for this week. Good to do a show again, and, it's great talking Disney, and we'll do it all again next week.
Yeah, if you guys want to comment or anything on the show, contact us at wdwmmsmpodcast@gmail.com or check us out on Twitter at wdwmainstreet or also check out our website at wdwmagicalmainstreetmemories.com for all the closures and updates and stuff like that. Have a great week, my good buddy. I'm going to pay for this tab, and I will talk to you real soon.
All right. Happy trails.
Later. Well, that's going to be it, guys. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools. It was another fun day of talking Disney with you. And don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, and David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to find any of our fine sponsors, hop on our website at wdwmainstreetmemories.com. And again, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you real soon.